to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Well, welcome to the very first episode of Deep Space High. I am Chris, and with me is my brother, Steven.
Hello.
Say hi. All right, Steve, why don't you go ahead and get us started on what are we going to be covering today? What are we going to be talking about in this episode?
So starting off on this podcast, we are going to take a trip into the new Star Trek series, Picard. And we're going to take our opening episode will be episode one of season one of Picard, which is entitled Remembrance.
Yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to this. I must admit, I am a very huge Star Trek fan, but I'm also a big sci-fi fan, which is, so is Steve, which is why we're actually doing this podcast. You know, my brother Steve, he texted me one day. He was like, hey, you know what? We're dealing with this coronavirus situation. We have the time. Why don't we start watching some of these sci-fi series and actually just talk about it on the podcast? And here we are.
Yeah, because this is something that we do just about every week on the phone. Hey, once one of us finishes an episode of Picard or Mandalorian or Orville or whatever sci-fi podcast is currently out, we will call one another and just start chatting it up. So we figured, why not record it, discuss it, and get other people's opinions, let them listen in on our conversations, and let's make this a thing.
Yeah, so here we are. All right. So what should we get started here then? Should we go straight into Picard or should we kind of give a little bit more background leading up to it?
No, let's talk about what's coming into it. You know, maybe some people aren't as big as Trekkies like, you know, me. I'm a casual fan. And right. Maybe there's some people coming into the series who don't, you know, haven't seen all of TNG or other television series, Star Trek television series. So maybe we should give just a brief background of what's going on. Maybe talk about what it took to get this show off the ground.
Yeah,
and then onto our television screens.
Yeah, and then we can kind of go into the background of it, like because it really starts off. Well, it starts off later down the road, but the first episode is really kind of a continuation from the last movie, Star Trek Nemesis.
Yeah.
So, but let's kind of go in the beginning. Let's get into the production. Like, how did this get started, you know?
Well, from my brief knowledge, and, you know, I'm sure people are thinking, well, he's not really the Star Trek guy. Why is he talking about the production? Well, that's because I Google just about everything, and I tend to get into the production details more than Chris over there does. So I tend to be more knowledgeable on crap like this. I mean, I say crap, but it's good crap.
Yeah, I don't know how he does it. He knows how to find all the rumors and shit for productions, for the different studios and the actors. Where I'm more of I know the storyline. I know Star Trek, the actual show, but I don't know much leading up to it or around the show, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, you're the quote unquote canon guy when it comes to Trek, and I'm more, you know, just about with any show, I'll look into the production details, kind of see how it got off the ground, maybe who they thought about casting first, and so that's why I'm diving into the background of this. So I know there was a group of writers over at CBS who was they really wanted a continuation of The Next Generation, and Sir Patrick Stewart was just not on board. He was like, no, I've done the character. I don't want to do it. I just don't want to be a captain of the Starship. We've already did that for seven seasons. I'm over it.
Well, they had another season after season seven of The Next Generation lined up. They had scripts written up. They had an idea of how they wanted to do it. But I know that they just, after Gene Roddenberry died, they just kind of wanted to, they kind of just wanted to finish it after seven. You know, seven seasons was a long time for how many episodes and how long the episodes were. I know most of the seasons were about 26 episodes per season. So when you have hour-long episodes that are 26 episodes per season for seven seasons, it's a lot of work. And I think they were just kind of ready to hang up the cape after seven seasons.
Yeah, I don't disagree, and I think they also wanted to focus on their other series. They also had Deep Space Nine and Voyager out at the time, and three mm-hmm. Trek shows on at the same time. It's a lot of Trek.
Yeah. Well, I don't think
talking about at least 3 hours of Trek every week.
Well, no, I don't think Voyager didn't come out at the same time as The Next Generation, because how it came
immediately
out, well, no,
I thought it was immediately after.
No, Deep Space Nine came out in season 6 of The Next Generation, because you see O'Brien, Chief O'Brien, who was the transporter chief on the Star Trek Enterprise, he actually goes on to Deep Space Nine, and that's he kind of is that like remnant of, you know, The Next Generation. They wanted to bring him in so that you had like a familiar cast. And you know, Picard even talked to Commander, who was Commander at the time, he wasn't a captain, Commander Benjamin Sisko, who was going to run the space station. And then after, you know, that was towards the end of season 6. And then Star Trek Voyager didn't start until about 3 or 4 seasons into Deep Space Nine, because they did the same thing to where they actually started the show at Deep Space Nine to kick it off.
Well, here's what I was able to pull up. Next Generation ended in 1994, and then Voyager was out in 1995.
Right.
So they've obviously had Voyager in the works, and I think that's part of the reason of why TNG was abruptly canceled.
Right. Okay. So that makes sense. That there's just so many different shows, there's so many different storylines. They've done, you know, Next Generation for a while, and then I think the actors were ready to, you know, start doing some other roles. I mean, of course, Sir Patrick Stewart did, you know, X-Men, so after that. So, I mean, he had other big roles after that.
Oh, yeah, he stayed relatively busy for the next 25 years. Yeah, but anyways, Sir Patrick Stewart was not on board to do this series originally, and from what I understood, it took some pretty big convincing, and finally they pitched the story to him where he was on board, he loved the idea, and they threw it in production, and that's what we got for season 1.
Yeah. And they brought back almost every character from The Next Generation. There was only, I think, three.
No, there was a handful that I didn't see.
Yeah, there was three characters that did not make an appearance in this show. I think it was Geordi LaForge, Worf, and Guinan.
Beverly didn't.
Oh, no, she didn't.
Dr. Crusher did.
Yeah, she didn't. So four.
And then Wesley, if you want to count him, I know he was only on the first half of the series.
Wesley
was
not a very popular character in the Star Trek Next Generation.
Well,
I mean, he was
I don't know. I've been rewatching it recently, so that's why it's kind of fresh in my mind.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, Wesley was in the series for like 4 seasons, and then he went off to the Academy, and then you saw him like 2 or 3 times after that. But even the actor himself, I don't remember who the actor is, but I remember he...
Will Wheaton.
Was it?
Yep.
Yeah, he even said that he didn't even enjoy doing the Star Trek series.
Well, I think he got a lot of crap for it, too.
Yeah. I mean, it was the first time that they brought a kid into the show, so he was kind of a know-it-all and kind of a brat, so he wasn't very popular. He was the Jar Jar Binks of Star Trek.
That's harsh.
I mean,
that's harsh.
I don't remember. Oh, what's the name of the kid from he was the kid king from Game of Thrones. I've never seen Game of Thrones, but
oh, King Joffrey.
Yeah, you know how he's just universally hated. That's kind of the same for Star Trek. I think that's what he is for Star Trek.
But it's different because King Joffrey of Game of Thrones was written to be hated, and I don't think Wesley Crusher was written to be hated. It just kind of came off that way.
Right. That's why I went with Jar Jar Binks, because Jar Jar was originally supposed to be like the comic relief. He wasn't supposed to be as hated as he was.
Yeah.
But he was just written and, you know, that.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Yeah. He wasn't, but the stories around him wasn't very well written in the first, you know, like the first season, and his acting wasn't very good at the beginning. He picked it up. He did a much better towards the end, or towards like the last. Or season 3 or season 4 before he left, I thought he picked it up a lot better. But originally, he was not very popular. So
well, let's dive into this episode of the season one, episode run, one, Star Trek Picard, Remembrance. So this scene opens with, I think, is a pretty cool space. I think it's Nebula, or it's just space in general, yeah, with the song Blue Skies.
Yeah. And then for those who don't know, for Blue Skies was actually the song that Data sang.
This is foreshadowing, just so everyone knows, for the rest of the season. Or yeah, rest of the episode.
Yeah. Well, no, I guess rest of the season. Because, I mean, the whole...
Oh, yeah.
It kind of does start off with, you know... Well, I guess I'll just finish my point then. Blue Skies was the song that Data sang at Commander William Riker and Counselor Deanna Troi's wedding in Star Trek Nemesis. It was their wedding present. So he sang Blue Skies for them as their wedding present. And at the end of the movie, Data actually sacrifices himself to save Captain Picard. And he ended up blowing up another ship and was completely vaporized, or at least so everybody thought. And that's kind of where the idea of Blue Skies comes from, is relevant. And that's kind of how it's going to connect throughout the whole series, I guess, because the whole series is going to be essentially around Data. Because even in the introduction scene, you have the vision of the Nebula, you have the song Blue Skies, and then you have Picard and Data playing a game of poker in 10 forward.
Yeah, on old Enterprise D, which is, I know it was destroyed in one of the movies, I don't remember which one, but
Star Trek Generations, the first Star Trek movie. Or the first Star Trek Next Generation movie.
I was going to say, because in the scene where they're playing cards, mm-hmm, Data's wearing, correct me if I'm wrong, but Data's wearing the uniform that he was wearing in Star Trek Nemesis when he blew up and sacrificed himself.
I think so. Was it the gray top with the yellow stripe on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one that changed. Okay. They do that sometimes. They changed uniforms a couple times throughout the series.
Right, and it's just, this is where we figure out Picard's dreaming, because next thing you know, the starship's outside of Mars, and it's the attack on Mars, which ends up killing, was it tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people?
I think it was.
Something like that.
It was a lot of people. I mean, I think it was.
So it was enough to where, yeah.
It was enough to
enough where it was synthetics. The entire galaxy made a treaty outlawing synthetics and decommissioned anyone that still was a synthetic.
Yeah, but what do you think of the CGI from that, though? Like, they obviously tried to make Brett Spiner, who was the actor who played Data, they tried to make him look
younger. I think it's Spiner.
Is it Spiner or Spinner? I think it's Spinner.
I've always said Spiner.
I don't know. I've always said Spinner. I guess it's
tomato. Someone will correct us.
Yes, eventually. But what do you think of the CGI work, like, in the beginning?
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
It was movie, you know, not big budget, $250 million special effects, but it was, you know, it seemed like big budget movie,
yeah,
CGI. I mean, right there.
He lost some weight too to do that, because he was super skinny in the Next Generation, the actual show. He was really skinny.
Yeah.
So he put on a lot of weight over time, and then he had to lose it to try and, you know, look the same again.
Yeah, and you can kind of hear the age in his voice. I mean, I could, because I've been rewatching The Next Generation, and after rewatching the first episode of Picard today, you could just hear the age difference in his voice,
yeah,
which is, you know, natural. It's been 30, it's been 20-ish it's been 30, 30 years.
Because they had the 30-year anniversary not long ago.
Yeah.
We went to that. We went to the Star Trek convention where they had their Star Trek's 30th, or The Next Generation's 30th anniversary.
Yeah, in 2017, something like that.
Yeah. Because it came out in it came out in 87, I think.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's been over 30 years.
Yeah, so, I mean, but, you know, that's nitpicking stuff right there, because, you know, actors are going to age. You can't stop that.
That's
cards out. I mean, Patrick Stewart sounds old, too, but like I said, it's been 30 years. He's pushing 80, so.
Yeah, he is almost 80. And in the show, I think in the show they said he was like 98 or something like that. Like, he's really old, even for the show.
Yeah.
Somewhere. I don't remember where, but I think they said he was like 98.
Yeah, I think it's one of the last seasons, or one of the last episodes. And, you know, we're going to try to avoid talking about future episodes as much as possible. But just so everyone knows, we have seen the whole series, and I'm sure a lot of you have seen, or at least the whole season, given that we're recording this after the season finale has already aired.
Yes, and we're also recording this in the midst of the, you know, quarantine for the coronavirus, so we all have a little bit more time on our hands than normal.
Yeah. So yeah, so we're going to do what we do best and just chat.
Yeah. But,
Go ahead. Go ahead. Okay, I'll go. So after he wakes up from this, I mean, I like the shot of him opening his window and overlooking the grapes onto his chateau, his vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that looks like, I don't know where they shot that. I didn't look into it, but that
they were in France.
That's how I imagine.
I know they actually.
Oh, were they?
They were in France for that. They were actually, because they actually have a Chateau Picard wine. I don't know who actually owns the rights to it, but they have a Chateau Picard that they released, and they actually filmed that scene on the vineyard where they made the Chateau Picard.
I just know it was beautiful scenery. It was, you know, it was awesome looking over the grapes and then, you know, looking into the hill country behind. I think the only thing that kind of ruined it was the less good CGI watering machine.
I don't think the watering machine. I guess it might have
been in the later, because I know you see that shot several times in this episode. It might have been a different shot, but
it might have been. I don't remember that.
It just looks like
off the top of my head.
That was an issue of like, that's not great CGI, but I'll get over it. I'll look at the right half of the screen where it's just beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, they now you guys can hear my dogs barking in the background. But it's funny. Speaking of dogs, did you remember what the name of Picard's dog is in the show?
Oh yeah, number one. That's not hard to miss.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was funny.
I hoped that at some point you could see the dog, Riker, and Picard all at the same scene. I don't remember if you do, but
I don't think you do.
But it would have been a cool moment.
So, yeah, that definitely would have been. So let's
jump into the plot of this episode a little bit.
Yeah. So one of the big things is, I think in the next scene, they kind of go into really where the whole storyline begins. They meet, I can't remember what her name is.
Dash.
Thank you. That was going to drive me crazy. Dash. So that's when they meet Dash, and she's drinking wine with her boyfriend. She finds out that, oh, hey,
Daystrom Institute.
I'm struggling here. I cannot think right now. The Daystrom Institute. Thank you. Which is in...
Hashtag put the beer down.
I know, right? Well, there was a reason why the show is called Deep Space High, you know? But
so we can get high on the low of sci-fi.
I know, right? That's totally what I
mean. Maybe have a couple drinks while chatting.
Yeah, but this is where we meet. She's with her boyfriend. They're having drinks. She gets in the Daystrom Institute, and then out of nowhere, a couple guys dressed in black, faces were covered, transport and kill the boyfriend and attack her. They're trying to figure out where the whole planet is from, but she has no idea what's going on, and she goes super ninja and finds out that her whole life was a lie, and she just sees Picard. Like, she sees visions of
Picard. She doesn't realize that her whole life was a lie. She's on the verge of
a
mental breakdown.
Yeah, that's where like the whole her life falls apart. That's how it starts, I should say.
Yeah. And then she goes on the run, and then she ends up having, like you said, visions of Picard, and then ends up ending up at his chateau after his, I think some would say, disastrous interview.
Yeah. I mean, the interviewer was kind of a dick, and hey, we specifically ask you, don't bring this up. And you're not only bringing up, but you continue pressing the issue that he obviously does not want to talk about. That's a sensitive issue to the guy. Like, that's kind of a dick move on the reporter. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and it was weird knowing they vetted the reporter three times to make sure she didn't ask that question. And yet they still, I mean, I would have recorded this and I wouldn't have gave permission to do this interview live. I would have wanted it to have been recorded. And then you could have some say on, hopefully have some say on what gets released and what doesn't.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean.
I mean, it didn't seem like the smart thing to broadcast it live throughout the world and throughout the galaxy to, and then be blindsided with those questions.
Yeah. I mean, after specifically saying, don't ask these questions. Well, what kind of caught me off guard though, was that, you know, he lives with Romulans.
Yeah. And I totally thought they were Vulcans at first, but I was like,
I did too, but they had,
that's what threw me. I was like, these guys, they are too emotional. They're not thinking with logic. They're not monotone, like typical Vulcans. I was like, are these Romulans? But I was like, nah, this can't be.
Well, it's kind of hard to tell because like in the Next Generation and in the movies, they didn't have as good of cameras. So they had to paint their skin like a really dark, noticeable to be able to like tell the difference in who's a Romulan and who's a Vulcan. And you don't really have that in this series. They just have it to where they adjust the ears, they add a little bit, but you don't have all that makeup, so it's not as easy to tell anymore.
Yeah, it's really, you got to look at how they're acting.
Yeah.
So it seems like, you know, Vulcans are less emotional and Romulans tend to be pretty emotional, it seems like, but...
Mm-hmm. I mean, and then a little bit of foreshadowing, like the interview has, you know, repercussions in the episodes going forward, but even in just this episode... So, you know, she sees Picard, you know, as the fight is going on. And then as she's frantically trying to get away or as she's running away, she sees the interview on or I guess did they just kind of replay the interview later? I don't know if it was a live interview, but she sees him and she's like, oh, shit, he's real. And she goes to try and find Picard because, you know, she sees this guy in her head who is supposedly can help her through this whole situation. And then she sees him there on TV. Like, what a coincidence, don't you think?
Yeah, that is pretty strange. And I was thinking, let's talk about a little bit of why they're interviewing him. Apparently it was the anniversary of the Romulan supernova, which,
yes,
as a lot of you will know, is the events that occurred in the first J.J. Abrams Star Trek reboot.
Mm-hmm. They have a separate name for this timeline. I think it's called the, what is it? Is it the Kelvin?
They call it the Kelvin timeline.
Yeah.
Kelvin timeline for those movies.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I was thinking once that was brought up, that while this series is a sequel to The Next Generation, it takes place in a different universe than the Kelvin timeline, and it takes place even in a different universe than the original or the Next Generation television series.
Right.
At least that's what it got me thinking, because I was like, there's a little bit of inconsistencies here, it feels like, and I feel like this is a different timeline. Maybe events occurred a little differently. Maybe the characters are just...
So your thoughts is that this is a completely different timeline.
Yeah, and I think right now we have three different timelines with the Star Trek series.
I don't know about that, because okay, so Star Trek does a lot where they kind of explain time travel, and even in time travel it's pretty confusing, but there's something there's a principle to where the cause can, or the effect can precede the cause. So it's one of those things to where it's the events that happen in the Kelvin timeline. So how this works, how the Kelvin timeline works, as far as I know, you have the original Star Trek timeline, and in the future, the Romulan sun supernova and destroyed Romulus, and Spock tried to help stop the sun from going supernova, failed, and then left the Romulan Empire in collapse. And then the Spock was sent back into time as punishment, or got caught, sent back into time. Was it? It wasn't Ronan. I don't remember what his name was. Nero? It was Nero.
Mm, yeah.
So Nero was a minor at the time, got caught in the black hole, was sent back into time and altered events. So I think what happened was they were sent into an alternate universe, almost like kind of like Mirror Mirror, to where Mirror Mirror is a different universe, but they're still, you know, they could still interact. They can travel to that universe. I think it just ruined or changed timeline for a different universe, and it split off into a separate universe. So this is continuing from the original timeline, but the events that happened that started the Kelvin timeline still take place. This is after that. You know what I mean? What?
No, you totally lost me. No idea what you're talking about. And I'm sure 99.99% of the listeners out there have no idea what you're talking about. Well, that sounded like nonsense.
Okay, well, that's time travel. even in the show, they're talking about how, like, even the captains and the scientists.
Yeah, but how do you go from my theory is this is a different timeline to jumping universes now, like they do Mirror Mirror style? I mean, I know they could do that, but
what I was saying was, I just don't see the Star Trek timeline. So think of it as a straight line, all right? And then you have the supernova, which is still connected in the original timeline.
Are you going to go back to the future on this bitch? Are you going to, you know, there's a straight line on the whiteboard, and then this event screwed it up, so it threw it into a tangent?
Yeah, that's actually...
Are you Doc Browning this?
That's actually a really good explanation. That's actually how I am explaining this. It's exactly like the second movie's timeline, to where the events ruined, or when they traveled back and they messed up the events, it created a separate timeline. So the universe that they were in still exists. But when it happened, it created a separate timeline and altered those events.
Right. And I'm saying is what our listener should have done is skip the last 5 minutes and throw up a screenshot of the Doc Brown board for Back to the Future 2. That's all I'm saying.
Pretty much. I mean...
Yeah. No, but like what I mean, I get that now that I'm seeing it and kind of trying to figure out where you're going with it. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, what if, okay, you have the original timeline, which is where the Next Generation is, you have the tangent timeline, which is Kelvin, and then you just have a third timeline that's kind of in between the two that's a little different. And maybe this is where, this is just a theory. I'm spitballing. This is kind of what my first thought was when I first watched it, when it premiered. When I watched it again, I was like, yeah, I could still see this. So that's just okay. My theory.
I don't know. Thinking about it this way. You ever worked out at the gym and you have like those really long ropes and you have to like go up and down and like make waves with the ropes?
My beer gut says no, I have not been to the gym.
Okay, I'm probably talking to the wrong audience. but you kind of understand the concept of, you know, whipping the rope.
I like to sit on the couch and watch TV.
I guess I know you do. But it's kind of that idea.
That's why this podcast is here.
Yeah, it is. Because that's all we do.
Yeah.
I try to work out. That's why I'm trying to get – you guys need to exercise. If you listen to this podcast, you need to get out and be active. But what I was trying to say is
– You need to sit on the couch and watch some sci-fi. That's all I'm saying.
Or
– Why do something you hate when you could do something you love?
Or hypothetical, you could do both. Get a TV.
Live a good life, not a long life.
Gym. Yeah, get a TV, put it in your gym. You can watch sci-fi and work out. Double benefit.
Nah, that's too much work.
Make what you hate easier to do by adding something you love.
Nah. Wow. That's torture. That's overrated. Yeah, eat some tacos, watch some Trek.
But the point that I was trying to make.
I like it. That should be a new slogan. Eat some tacos, watch some Trek. I like it.
That should be our hashtag. Hashtag eat tacos, watch Trek.
There you go.
Yeah, I know, right?
Maybe that should be the hashtag for when we're watching Trek episodes. Hashtag eat tacos, watch Trek.
Yeah.
All right, I like it.
The sad part is I don't even like tacos.
Oh.
And I'm Mexican. I don't even like tacos.
And I just became the favorite host.
Yeah.
All right, so let's jump back to this. To
yeah, because I lost my train of thought.
Because now this episode took a Doc Brown tangent, so let's take this back.
Okay.
The interview didn't go well. Daj went and met Picard at a chateau, and then, man, I feel like this is a really important scene, but it's also not one of the most memorable scenes of the episode.
Where she runs away?
Well, no, it's before she runs away, where she's just super confused, and he's trying to comfort her, and Picard is trying to comfort her and get a story of what's happening.
Right.
And then that's kind of where, no, right. it's one of those, even taking notes on it is still just not, it's not a memorable scene for me.
No. I mean, like, what I don't understand is, I don't understand why she ran away. Like, I know she was trying.
I think she took it as her apartment's compromised. If she's on the run, she's a little harder to find.
Yeah, she sees this guy in a vision, knows that she needs to go to him, and then he's kind of explaining things on, you know, what he thinks is going on, or, you know, what is going on with her, and yeah. Her first instinct is to run away. And then she finds out.
And then she runs away again while she's staying at Picard's.
Yeah. And then,
which, I mean, she seems like she's got runaway problems.
Yeah, she does. And then she calls her mom, and then her mom slips up and says, you need to go back to Picard, even though she never said Picard, which proves that Mama's a fake.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. And then she just goes back to Picard. She eventually...
Yeah, and... Well, then, you know, Picard has another dream where Data... This is where Data is painting in his vineyard, and... They're both wearing the Next Generation uniforms, the all red, all yellow.
Right, the OG ones.
Uniforms. And Data's painting the picture of what looks like, from what you could tell, it's just a cliff overlooking an ocean.
Right.
And then Picard recognizes it, and he snaps awake from his dream, turns around, looks behind his desk, and sees the same photo of what looks like a girl looking over the ocean.
Well, I thought the one that Picard has, it was overlooking the ocean, but you couldn't see her face.
No, you couldn't. It was just, she was in, a white or gray gown.
Yeah, she had a hood covering her head, and she was kind of
It looked like a Jedi looking over the ocean.
That's right.
Pretty much what it was.
And then he goes and then finds, he goes back to the museum and then finds the other painting that Data painted. Which actually has her face, and it is identical to Dash. It looks exactly like her.
Yeah, and then the curator or the index, I guess she's the index, the hologram.
Right.
Tells him that the name of the painting is Daughter, and I feel like that's something Picard should have known, right? He should have known if Data named a painting and what it should have been.
Yeah. Well, I should also point out that painting was not in the original Next Generation timeline. You never see that painting in the original timeline.
I don't think you've seen it anywhere. It's an off-screen kind of painting. So they have conversation. I think it's in the next scene where they have a conversation when Dodge finds Picard again about this painting that was gifted to him. Somewhere before Nemesis, but after the original or the Next Generation series ended.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know for sure.
He's at 30 years, but for me, I don't know where the hell that falls in the timeline.
Yeah. I don't know either. Because,
but, you know,
in the timeline, like, Data was only, he was on Next Generation, let's see, probably 10 years. I think that's how long that they knew each other, because he died. It may have been like closer to 15, so about 10, 15 years. And then the first 7 seasons of The Next Generation was only the first 7 years. So you have a huge gaps that, you know, you could play with there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's probably where this painting happened, was somewhere in that gap.
Yeah. And then.
But I like the scene that followed where, not to cut you off, but that fight scene on the rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
Where she is just again going ham. I was like, that's some really good choreography. This is some top notch fight scenes.
I know, right? I like the actress that plays her.
Oh yeah, she's pretty good. But I was like, these fight scenes don't feel like, they feel like the new Trek, the Discovery, the Picard. This is right. Feels like a more
action-y. Because in the old series, the first, or I guess let's refer. Let's refer to Next Generation,
TNG,
Space Nine, and Voyager as the
Deep Space Nine. That sounds like an orgy. There probably is a porno orgy called Deep Space 69.
No, ooh. I'm sure they'd be more like Deep Throat Nine or something like that.
Oh, there's probably one of those too.
You know what dad? You know what dad calls 7 of 9? 6 of 9. Every single time, and it drives me crazy.
There's, I'm sure there's guys that have said that all throughout.
I know, but it gets annoying when every single time he sees her, he says 6 of 9. But anyways, where were we even at? Let's refer to him as...
Yeah, we were at the Deep Space Orgy 69.
Something like that.
We're going to have to Google that shit later. Someone needs to do some fact checking, see if that's a thing.
I'm sure it is. I mean... I would be disappointed if it wasn't.
Yeah, it's gotta be. Someone's gotta. If it's not, please, some porn producer listening, please make a Deep Space 69 and just throw a credit my way. That's all I'm asking.
I'm sure it's already got somebody's already
thought. I don't need to be in it. I don't need to be
No, I don't think anybody wants you in it. Mr.
Itaco. I don't want to be in it, so
Mr. Itacos and Tracks.
That's the life.
Yeah.
So, but this, after this fight scene, going back to the show, this is where I saw a lot of criticism from the episode. Is people were like, because this is where you find out during the fight scene, one of their helmets get knocked off, and you see it's a Romulan that's trying to kill Dodge. And then fight scene happens, punches thrown, whatever, people killed. Next thing you know, a Romulan spits acid, blows up the gun, which kills Dodge.
Yeah, that seemed kind
of... I saw that scene getting built. And it did, and I've seen the episode 4 or 5 times, and it's just like, it's subtle, but I see where people were confused initially. They're like, what the fuck? Spitting Romulan acid, now they're changing everything. But if you listen, it's like a CIA cyanide cap tooth where you bite into it and kill yourself. Well, you bit into it, acid was in the cyanide cap or the suicide cap, and then he spits it on the gun, which blows it up. I mean, so I'm thinking Romulans don't spit acid. I think the CIA Romulan group is just, that's their cyanide cap. It's an acid suicide cap. They avoid capture by biting into it and killing themselves.
I guess that makes sense.
It makes sense. I mean, I don't know if it's true. It seems relatively consistent knowing what happens in the rest of the season, because that's not the only time you see it. So I think that's what it is. And I think that scene got a lot of backlash, a little unnecessary, but I mean,
well, I think it was
at first it had me through.
Yeah, well, I think it was also kind of confusing because, you know, when they spit the acid, it blows her up and she dies. So you're thinking, well, shit, okay, she's dead already. It's the first episode. How the hell is the storyline going to keep going?
Oh, yeah. Then, oh, my gosh. Then he goes to the Daystrom Institute and talks to some doctor. What's her name? Girardi?
I think so. I don't know. Apparently, I'm not very good at names right now, so I can't remember to regard.
I have it somewhere. Picard meets Girardi, where he's like, you know, you see B4, which is a throwback to Nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
They chat, and they're like, this is impossible. There's no way there could be an android that's flesh and blood and also sentient.
Mm-hmm.
Sentient.
The only one who was able to do it was Data. Data was the only true sentient.
Yeah, but even Data. Well, yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, but even then he wasn't flesh and blood. You cut him. He was obviously a robot. He didn't bleed. He didn't heal.
Mm-hmm. Well, no,
the only human like thing he was able to do was flip a switch and get an erection. I mean, that's just futuristic Viagra right there.
Well, I mean, he was fully functional, but he did. he did have a form of blood, and he did have hair, and he. I mean, he could grow hair. I mean, he could breathe. They talked about that on the show. Like, even Dr. Bashir from Deep Space Nine, he was the doctor from Deep Space Nine. And they did a...
We have to refer to Deep Space Nine as Deep Space 69.
Do you want to refer to it as Deep Space 69? All right, so Deep Space 69. I don't know. Damn it. Now I'm thinking about 69. What were we talking about? Right, Bashir. Okay.
So I don't know. You were going off on a tangent that I'm not familiar with.
All right. Well, in one of the episodes, they did a crossover, and Bashir was talking about how much he admires Data, not because of his, you know, mechanical, technological capabilities, how fast he can process, you know, information, but he was more amazed on the little details. He could breathe, you know, he, you know, the air would cool his system, so he had a form of breathing. He could grow hair. He could grow facial hair if he wanted to. You know, he could, he had pores, he had skin. And in that same fully functional episode that we were joking about, he even talked about, even if you prick me, do I not leak? You know, he has a lot of the features that.
When he pricked Tasha, did she leak?
Well, I don't know.
Come on, you can't just gloss over that one.
You'd have to, I don't know. You'd have to ask Tasha.
I'm sure something leaked.
I'm pretty sure he leaked after that. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. He pricked her, but he still leaked.
I don't know if he does. I'm sure she did.
If he eat pine, if he eats pineapples, is it sweet?
I don't know. Okay. One. That's a little bit more than my knowledge. So,
well, during the scene with Dr. Girardi, this is where a bomb is kind of dropped on us that Dodge has a twin.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, and then there's the revelation of Picard just realized he's got to go find a twin now. Mm-hmm. And then that sets up the episode. And then you get one kind of final scene where
with the twin sister meeting a Romulan guy on a damaged Borg cube.
Yep. Yeah, and there was something really minor, but is major to me. Soji, who's the other twin, is wearing the same or a similar necklace to what her sister has.
Mm-hmm.
But she's wearing it like a tie. It's on, it's around the collar of her button-down shirt like a tie instead of on the inside around her neck.
I actually didn't notice that.
Yeah, and this is, like I said, watch this. I think this was the fourth or fifth time I've seen this episode, and this is the first time I noticed that they wear necklaces like ties in the future. So, I mean, I guess we got that to look forward to. I wonder if it's like a it's a bolo necklace.
A bolo necklace? I don't know.
Like a bolo tie?
I don't know. Right now, I'm still thinking you're crazy because I don't actually remember that scene. So, but then again, I've only seen it twice. So,
go into the episode after this. Fast forward till the last 2 minutes and just see. You'll see how the necklace is on around her collar instead of inside her shirt around the neck.
Right. Yep. And then
that's all important. You know,
well, I mean, speaking of fully functional, you can obviously tell that she's hot for him. I mean, they're already flirting like.
Oh yeah, she's
part of the episode.
Well, yeah, he initiated. You know, yeah, it's that's. Yep. Well, looks like that that Romulan wants to bone
an android.
Yeah, there you go. I was gonna say Sin, but I just didn't like the way that was working out.
I don't know. Do you remember Archer?
The animated TV show, yeah.
Yeah, do you remember what was the Russian chick's name who they turned into an android?
Tatya.
Yeah. How she had that, remember how she had like that vibrating vagina that she could take out? Do you think she had like the same thing? The vibrating vagina?
Wow. I wanna say no, because she's supposed to be built just as much of a human as possible.
But like if she ever cool. Like, that would be cool. You kidding? Like that'd be awesome.
So like if she activate herself and then realize she's a robot, could she make her lady parts vibrate?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure any guy would love that.
Could Data make his man part vibrate? Oh my god, so many questions.
I know. No answers though. I'm sure if we, you know, DM'd Brett Spinner on Twitter or something and asked him about it, I'm sure he would ignore us.
No, that would be a great question. Okay, I mean, I would really hate if someone stole my question, but I would love someone to interview Brett Spiner. I'm going to keep saying Spiner until told otherwise. If he thinks Data's dong vibrated.
Oh my gosh. Oh no,
that's some serious reporting right there, and I need someone. Unless I get the chance to interview him first, doubt that'll ever happen. Someone's got to interview him and ask him about that.
Well, no, what you do, go to the Star Trek convention. Like, because the actors, they go to the Star Trek convention that's in Vegas. Like, they hold one in Vegas, like, almost every year. So, if they go, and you can do, like, a Q&A with some of the actors. Could you imagine if somebody goes up?
Oh my god, that would oh my god, that
when Data banged
the look on his face being like,
when Data banged Tasha Yar, could he make his penis vibrate? Imagine that quite with a whole crowd full of people. Poor
this
Brent.
Is Brent.
Brent, sorry. Oh, that'd be too funny.
I don't know. Maybe someone should hashtag taco. What do we say? Tacos while watching track? Eat tacos, watch track?
Something like that.
Whatever. Hashtag eat tacos, watch track. And then at Brett Spiner, we got to ask him, did his dong vibrate when he nailed Tasha Yar? And for those of you who have not seen that episode, it is season one, episode two, The Next Generation.
Mm-hmm. What the hell? Yo, the sign is real simple, B. It says wrap it up. Wrap that shit up, B.
Chris, what did you think of the series premiere of Star Trek Picard entitled Remembrance?
It was good because they had a lot of connections to the original shows. And this is one of the things that I often talk about with Star Trek. You know, it's very similar to the MCU in the way that it's so popular because they do such a good job at continuing the story and making it consistent and making it to where it makes sense in the storyline. And then another thing is the MCU does a great job at staying true to the comics. And that's something that a lot of Star Wars fans are mad at for the new movies because they haven't really stayed true to the originals. And that's something that I was kind of looking at when watching the show. Okay, how well does it do at staying true to the original show? And they have a lot of connections to the original show that make sense. Bruce Maddox, that's something that we really didn't talk about, who is a pivotal character in the show because Bruce Maddox was the one that, you know, made the androids. The twins, and he was an actual character in the show, and you would remember him from season
in the
two.
Show you mean Next Generation?
Yes, thank you. So he was in season two of The Next Generation, and he was actually the one who tried to get he wanted to actually take Data and dismantle him and try and take apart his positronic brain to figure out how to make more like him. He did not even actually consider Data to be a living creature, and Picard actually had to fight in Federation court to protect Data's rights as a living being, that he is a living sentient being and is thereto protected in those rights. And that was something that Picard fought a lot about, was protecting the rights of artificial life. And that's, I think that's why he was so angry about the Sin ban, because he fought so hard to give them the rights or to help ensure that their rights as a sentient being, only for them to be taken away because some Sims blew up Mars. You know what I mean? So overall, yeah. I like it because it has a good story that connects to the original Star Trek, The Next Generation. It's a storyline that makes sense to Trekkies. Now, for you, being someone who's not as big of a Trekkie, who's kind of more of a casual observer who watches sci-fi every now and then, I mean, you haven't even finished all of The Next Generation, you said, right? So for you...
Whoa. How dare you throw out those accusations?
Have you?
First of all, I love sci-fi, and I'm more than just a casual fan.
Okay, casual Star
Secondly,
Trek, I should say.
Okay, there you go.
Casual Star
Secondly,
Trek.
Secondly, no, I've seen... I want to say I've seen of all the Next Generation episodes, but I've never seen them all the way through, you know, like season one, episode one to season seven, whatever the season finale, series finale is. I know I've seen a lot of the episodes. I'm pretty sure I've seen all the episodes from here on out where I'm left. But being a casual fan and seeing all the movies, I've seen probably 90% of The Next Generation, maybe 100. I thought this episode, I think it got off on the right foot. I think they set it up well. I think they made the story intriguing. There were some flaws with it, some CGI flaws, some writing flaws, but I think overall they set it up. They set up the series well. I think it was a good strong start to the series, mm-hmm. And it was a good strong episode. And I look forward to see where they take it into episode two.
Right. Well, speaking of episode two, so what can we expect? What should we expect for next week's episode?
So next week's episode two of Picard is entitled Maps and Legends, and I'll just read you. I'll read your brief synopsis of what CBS All Access has as their brief description. Picard begins investigating the mystery of Daj, as well as her very existence to the Federation. Without Starfleet support, Picard is left leaning on others to help. Hmm. So that's kind of a brief introduction of what we can expect in next week's episode.
They play the next week's preview at the end of the first of the end of each episode. If memory serves me right, we saw Seven of Nine appear in the preview, didn't we?
No, I don't remember. When it was initially released, it might have been next week on Star Trek Picard. But when I watched it today, roughly 10 weeks later, it was just what to come in this season of Picard. So it kind of had clips and snippets of all 10 episodes. So I honestly don't remember if it had.
Yeah, it might have been.
I don't remember if it initially aired, if it showed season two, or if it was just to come in the season.
Right. I mean, I know that she is in, the series. Like, we see that and they make it plainly clear. And just in case, her name is Jeri Ryan. She's the name of the actress who plays Seven of Nine.
Yes.
I know she does make appearances. They you see a lot of appearances from other former Star Trek in general cast members, not just from The Next Generation, but you see them from other shows. Another one, you know what? We'll actually get to that.
Yeah, you see.
When we actually get there. I don't want to give away too many spoilers.
Yeah, and you know, hopefully people listening the first time, I hope you've seen the episode already, so we're not, or the whole season. We're going to try our best not to give away too much, but, you know, we're human. Yeah. As much as we would like a vibrating dong, we don't, so we make mistakes.
Yeah, I'm sure the women would prefer the vibrating dong.
Yeah, or, you know, who wouldn't? All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of Deep Space High. Please join us next time as we continue the conversation on Star Trek Picard.
And don't forget to keep the conversation going on Twitter with hashtag Tacos and Trek and hashtag Deep Space High.
And let us know how we're doing by reviewing Deep Space High. And if you love what you're hearing, please feel free to subscribe and share. I'm Master Jedi Steven.
And I'm Chris. And until next time, live long and prosper.